I think it's been 8 weeks. But it sure blessed my heart to hear Carl and Ryan share, I'll tell you that. It's encouraging to see what the Lord's doing in their lives. And so let's take a moment and pray together. Father, we just thank you tonight that you're in the business of changing our lives and transforming our lives. And I just thank you, God, for the work that you're doing here in this church, that you're doing in the people's lives that attend, that are part of this church. And I just ask you, Lord, tonight that you would speak through me. I just ask you, Lord, that you'd use this simple message to help us, each of us, in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I may get a little personal this evening tonight, so bear with me if I do. I've done it before. I'll probably do it this evening. But the last 6 months, I think I can really say this now. And I should knock on the stage when I say this. But the last 6 months have been the most difficult 6 months in my life. And the last 7 weeks have been the most difficult 7 of the last 6 months. And you probably wonder sometime, do pastors or preachers or those really religious people ever struggle in their faith? And the answer to that question, at least in my opinion tonight, is yes. Yes, they do. And I thought I would share some of that with you tonight. My little series here, we'll probably do the next 3 weeks, is entitled, Why Is It So Hard to Believe? And I have to admit, up until this point in my life, I don't ever think I really wrestled with that very much. I mean, I've been through some difficult challenges in my life. And sometime maybe it'll take a whole evening and just run through what those have been like. And some of them, and at the time, they felt like, Lord, I'm going to die in this. This is just too much. The last 7 weeks, my daughter's been in the hospital. I haven't told you guys that. She got out yesterday after 49 straight days. And in September, she was there for 25 days. And I think that for the first time in my life, I'm sure there's been other times, but there's just so I just couldn't shut off my brain. I don't know how else to put it. I wish God would have equipped me with a little switch back here. It just, you know, off. Just off. Have you ever wished that? Maybe you don't have. I have the kind of brain that a friend of mine told me once. He said, Mark, sometimes I don't tell you what I'm going to talk about with you until we actually get there, because I know that your mind is like a fine-tuned engine, and once it gets running, it won't stop. And it's true. Well, I don't know if it's fine-tuned engine. Let me back up. I don't know if that's true. Let's just say that once it gets running, it's very hard to stop. It's very hard. I don't know. Maybe if somebody put me through a grid, I'm ADD, double, 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 X, Y, Z, and all this other junk. I don't know. My brain sometimes just won't stop. And it goes from one thought to the next thought to 5 years down the road thoughts to what if this and what if that. And it just sometimes feels like it has a mind of its own, even though I know it doesn't. I know it's subject, but sometimes it just seems like it's just gone. And, you know, I've been praying. I have never prayed in my life. I've been a Christ follower for 35 years. 35. 35 of my years, God has had all of me. All of me. Totally committed, trying to follow Jesus Christ. And now I've not done everything perfectly. I'm not saying that. But I can honestly say He's had all of me. And I have never in my life prayed for anything more consistently, more regularly than my daughter's health the last 6 years. And God has allowed the most bizarre, crazy, insane, wacky things to happen that sometimes I just stand back and I, you know, in a very irreverent way, I've asked God, do you even have a brain? Where's your brains, God? And where's your promises? And I've read this book for 35 years. I haven't read it one time, then put it on the shelf. I read it over and over and over and over. And you said if we ask for anything in your name, you'd do it. You said if two or three agree on anything they ask on earth, you'd do it. I've had thousands of people praying. And not only, Lord, has things not gotten better, but I mean it has gotten freaky weird. And painful. And confusing and overwhelming, and for me in the last 7 weeks, there was times, not the whole 7 weeks, there was times I'd be driving on the highway and I couldn't see the road. I just start crying for no reason. And I'd walk into a store and I'd to get something, and I'd see a little crippled kid, and I'd just start crying. And I just, Lord, I have these kind of conversations with the Lord. It's like, Lord, listen. Okay, listen, I understand tests. Well, I think I do. I understand that you give us trials. At least I think I do. But Lord, I'm your servant. Okay, I mean, there's no way that Brad Pitt's life should be easier than mine. This just isn't right. I mean, he runs out of Jennifer Aniston. He messes around with Angelina Jolie. And how many other women has he probably messed around with? And I mean, a guy's life just going along, Lord. Come on. There's these kind of conversations me and God have had. And when they're not conversations, I just got to admit, the thoughts are going a million bazillion miles a minute through my mind. And I don't understand. Some of it I do. See, some of it I do, but some of it I don't. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a very, very unusual situation. And that situation was, Lord, and I'm ashamed of this. I'm just saying, I was telling the Lord, Lord, I'm ashamed of this. I love you, I'm your son, but I'm having a real hard time believing. And I feel like a fool, Lord, but I'm having a real tough time believing. I know you saved me. I know you lived. I know you died for the world. I know you love us, but, and we sing the song, oh, how he loves us, but I'm like, Lord, I'd sure like to see it. I'd sure like to actually feel that. And then I have these conversations with God. It's, you know, because I'm a dad, he's a dad. See, we have that in common. He's a dad, I'm a dad. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just got to tell you, man, I just wouldn't do to my child what you're doing. I just wouldn't be allowing what you're allowing. I mean, I understand some tests, Lord. I understand some hard things, Lord. But this is just over the top. Do you ever wrestle with your faith? Do you ever really struggle with your faith? I mean, your faith, for all of us probably here, myself included, there's nothing more precious in our lives than our faith. There's nothing more precious in my life than my relationship with God. And that's why I'm being so open with you, and why I can be so open with God. But at the same time, I'm just a human being. And sometimes I've just told the Lord, Lord, look, I guess the bottom line here is I'm just a little kid, man. I'm just, when it comes down to it, compared to you, I'm just a little kid. And this is really overwhelming me, Lord. I'm hitting the overwhelm button here. I was reading the other day, there's a story in the book of Mark, and I might have the wrong chapter. No, I have it. It's right here. In the book of Mark, and there's this man. He has a son. It's interesting to me as I read through the Gospels how many times a parent would bring their child to God. And so Jesus is at the foot of the mountain, and the disciples and the crowd, they're arguing, and One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he's possessed by an evil spirit and it won't let him talk. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him and throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid." Now, I got to tell you, that's a pretty freaky thing for a parent to see. And I've had to, I've not seen my daughter possessed by an evil spirit, but I've seen some really awful, bizarre things happen to her body. "So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. So Jesus said to them," and I believe he's directing this at the disciples, "Oh, you little faiths, oh, you faithless people, how long must I be with you till you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And I got to admit, I fit that. And for the first time, I kind of found comfort in that. We're like, "Yeah, Lord, I guess to be honest right now, I'm one of these faithless people. How long must you be with me till I believe? I don't know. Maybe 10 more years, Lord. I don't know. I'm hoping the end of the week, Lord." This was, you know, a week ago. "How long must I put up with you?" So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father, "since he was very small." You can imagine that. This father, the torment, this father, I can tell you, this is torment. I can tell you, to watch your child suffer is unlike, do it to me. And I really mean that. Parents don't just say that. It will be a whole heck of a lot easier. Just do it to me. I was watching a movie the other night with my wife. First time in a long time we get to watch a movie. And one of her favorite movies is called First Night with Richard Gere and Julie Ormond and Sean Connery. And there's this one scene where the evil Ben Cross, the evil Maleagant, says this. I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he says, "You find out your real convictions when you have to watch someone you love suffer." It's really, really, it's the most difficult thing has been in my life to watch my daughter suffer. It's like tore a hole in my heart, and I don't know if it's ever going to completely go together. I just don't know. It will in heaven, I know that. And so I can imagine this father watching this little boy, and he says, since he was very small, the evil spirit would make him fall into the fire or in water trying to kill him. I mean, this is a desperate situation. You know, your little child's just there, and all of a sudden, the spirit throws him in the fire, and you're trying to grab the kid. Kid probably got burned a little. He's probably got scars. Then throws him in the water, and you got to rush the water to get him out. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can. And there it is, the if word. Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I believe, but help my unbelief. And there it is. Well, Lord, I do. Part of me believes, Lord, but there's another part of me that doesn't believe. See? And there's kind of that duality in our lives and in our experience and in our existence. God, I do believe. But then the Father, one version says, I want to read this to you because I thought it was very interesting the way the way it says here. Once the father of the boy, after Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes, at once the father of the boy gave a piercing, inarticulate cry of tears and said, Lord, I believe. Help my weakness of faith. I love the Amplified version because what it does is it takes the original Greek language and it amplifies and brings about the deeper meanings behind the word. I don't know if you've ever seen a desperate father. I've been a desperate father privately. I guess I would be a little probably really humiliated to show you my desperation publicly. But I remember the first trip I went to the hospital with my daughter. I just walked around all the time just sobbing, unashamed. I just sat in the lounge just one day in particular after about the third day, and I just fell apart. I didn't care who walked in. I just didn't care. But this father, he's been watching this happen to this child for years. And he's watched this child suffer, and he loves this child. And I can just imagine a piercing, inarticulate scream, a groan, a cry, God, help my unbelief. I believe it. Help my unbelief. Of course, Jesus has mercy on him and heals him. Then, why he didn't before, I don't know. And then I was reflecting on the story here of Peter and Jesus. There's a couple really interesting passages. I'd like to read this to you out of the book of Luke. Those of you who grew up going to an Easter service, maybe you were the Christmas and Easter kind of, you know, church person, you probably heard this before, but... I want to read it to you because I find it very interesting. This is Luke chapter 22. And Jesus is here. It's near the Last Supper. And this kind of heavy situation. They're at the Last Supper. And then Jesus just says to Simon in front of everybody, Simon, Simon. That was Peter's first name, if you will, Simon Peter. Or he had two names, but he's talking to Peter. Satan has asked to have all of you, to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith won't fail. So when you have turned to me again, strengthen and build up your brothers. Peter said, Lord, what are you talking about? I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. The rooster will crow tomorrow morning. The rooster will not crow tomorrow morning until you have denied me three times. You will deny that you know me. Now I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a pretty heavy situation. Peter's been following Christ. Peter's seen Christ do some amazing miracles. Raise people from the dead. Heal them. But very interesting, Jesus said, hey, there's a spiritual war going on for you, Peter. Satan himself came to me and demanded to have his way with you. In fact, he wants all of you. But I have pleaded in prayer for you. My wife has often told me, sometimes it comforts me, sometimes it scares me. I've also had other friends tell me. I've never had the Lord tell me. But I have had dear Christian friends tell me, Mark, look, the devil's trying to destroy your life. And he's trying to use your daughter to get to you and wipe you out. And he wants all of you. You know, I believe that. I don't doubt it anymore. I believe it. I believe that's part of what's been going on. I believe part of it somehow in God's big plan, big picture, he's been allowing Satan to sift me, to shake up my world, to beat me over the head. And I can't explain it all. I mean, I don't know why this is in here. I don't know why God let Satan do that. I don't know. Why did God let Satan touch Job? I don't know. Why did God let Satan touch the Apostle Paul when he said, God sent a messenger from Satan, a thorn in my flesh? Well, we know in that passage to keep me humble, but you know, there's probably more to it than that because we see the impact the Apostle Paul had. There's probably no question Satan was really hoping I can destroy this man. Of course, God in his mercy didn't allow Peter to be destroyed. And the beautiful thing here is, of course, God gives Peter hope. He said, when you've turned Because you're going to go for a while. You're going to deny Peter. Let's just be frank. You're going to lose all your faith. You're not even going to admit you know me. Well, that's getting pretty low. I didn't quite go that far, but I felt like it. I felt like, God, what do I even know about you anymore? What do I even know for sure? What's the point of my life? I feel like I'm just stuck on a shelf, Lord. And I'm just watching nothing happen. No good news happen, Lord. And by the way, there has been some good news. And I'll get to that in the weeks to come. But this was in this process of these last weeks. But then Jesus says, Peter, this is what's going to happen. But I want you to know the ray of hope is you're going to come back to me and you're going to strengthen your brothers. And I was thinking of this verse to myself. I was thinking, Lord, I know faith tells me that all of this has a reason. And one of the reasons, not the only, is that I might offer an authentic and realistic experience with God that others can relate to. That I might be able to offer them some comfort in the struggles they're going through. Although it seems like an awful high price to pay. And then I was thinking of this last story that I'd like to share with you. And again, it's a very famous passage, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. And it's again the story of Peter. Then Jesus directed the disciples to get in the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After Jesus had dismissed all the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there praying alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many, 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 many miles distant from the land, beaten and tossed about by the heavy waves and the wind. It was about the fourth watch, around 4:30 in the morning. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they screamed in horror. But instantly Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I. Stop being afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Now, Peter's obviously right in the middle of this incredible miracle. He did what the Lord said. He got out of the boat and this man of God is walking on water. For a few moments. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind and the water against his face, he was horrified and he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Instantly, Jesus reached out, took his hand and caught him and held him, saying, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, that's a good question. Closing, I'd like to cover, I believe, three of the primary reasons why we find it, all of us, so hard to believe sometimes. Now, next week we'll get into ways to overcome these things. But all of us, no matter who we are here this evening, you're going to go through things in your life. You probably have some already, but as you continue to walk with God, there are going to be things in your life that just really knock you off your game. One of those things, there's three. I'm sure there are many others, but I'm just going over three simple ones. The first is our own mind, our own reason and logic. To be honest, many things about God are not logical. Not the way we rationalize and reason things. Let me say, God is not illogical, but I thought about doing a series entitled The Backward Wisdom of God. Because in our minds, much of what God does is backwards. Of course, in God's mind, we are backwards. But sometimes, when you look at the things that God does or the things that God allows, it just doesn't make sense. And our mind that God gave us tries to grab a hold. We try to figure it out. We try to Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And there we have it, right there in that passage. That's what we all try to do, and I do too. I try, in my own understanding, to go, God, what are you doing? Why did you allow this? This is foolish, Lord. It just created more stress. It created more pain. It seems irrational. It's pointless. We've already been through enough. Of course, my reasonings never stop the pain. Have you noticed that? I can reason all I want, but the circumstance is still there. So, one big obstacle that we all have to learn to overcome is our own mind, our own way of thinking, our own thoughts. And we'll get to that next week because, you know, I've had to combat that for 35 years of my life. And if we don't learn how to embrace the thoughts of God, if we don't learn kind of how to step out on that plank and go, you know what, Lord, I don't see, I can't feel, I can't touch. But because you said believe you, I'm going to believe you. Unless we learn that, life is going to drive us into the ground. And there are going to be times for all of us, because of what God's trying to do in our life, that He allows that to occur in our lives. Second thing that I found that often is a big obstacle and makes it so difficult for me to believe is my own emotions and how I feel at the time. I mean, difficulties can bring about some terrible feelings inside of us. And I look back, I won't go over all my emotions because I don't want to scare you. But I think back on the emotions that I've experienced the last 7 weeks. And they go from rage to fear to complete insecurity to at times almost utter hopelessness. I was just like kind of that sea that Peter was trying to walk on. It's what my emotions and my feelings have felt like because of things that were going on. And so our feelings and our emotions make it very, very difficult for us to overcome our doubts and our unbelief, if we can call it that. And the third thing is the circumstances themselves. It's often the circumstances that cause so many doubts in our mind. I remember I've been keeping a record at home. I actually don't know now if this is a good thing, but I really think it's going to be a good thing eventually. Just so I wouldn't exaggerate. I began 6 years ago when this trial started. I have this leather-bound journal at home, and I started to. I'm not a diary kind of guy. I never have been. And I had written some things in the front of this book, kind of like really important lessons that the Lord had taught me. So one day I went to the middle of the book, and I thought, you know, I'm going to write some God stories in the book. So I started writing God stories and putting little dates by him. And then this trial started. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to keep a record of this trial. And then I'm going to keep a record of every single other trial that happens while this trial's going on. And so I make dates. I put a little date and I just write a sentence or two of what occurred. And I began to be stunned by what God began to allow to go on in this trial. I remember my wife and daughter, this was 3 years ago this coming summer, actually 4 years ago this summer, they were out at a health clinic. Jessica just started losing weight for an inexplicable reason. No one could figure out why at all. And trust me, I've dealt with eating disorders. This was not an eating disorder, this was nothing. Just all of a sudden, Jessica just started losing weight. Her heart just started racing. It would be racing, and we'd take her to the doctor. And so she's down about 111 pounds, and she couldn't, even if she drank water, she'd just get severe indigestion. And so I put her and Kathy on a plane. They went to this clinic in Arizona. They thought they'd be gone 2 weeks. They ended up gone the whole entire summer. During the summer, while they're there, they found out that Jessica had some parasites that got overlooked at another place, and worms. And then on the same day, my air conditioner, my furnace, and my water heater all broke. And then during that summer, I was backing the van out to go run an errand, and I put it in drive, and the transmission just snapped right there. I never had that happen my whole life. I'm a car person. I know a lot about cars. I just put it in drive, pushed in the pedal. I heard a snap. Boom. It fortunately went in reverse, so I got it back in the driveway. $2,000 later, I got the transmission fixed. And I just started keeping a record. And then one day, the microwave went, and my favorite chair broke. I'm not exaggerating. I'm really not exaggerating. And I got a list of these kinds of things. And then my wife and daughter finally came back. And then, well, there's a whole other raft of trials. And then my daughter, Celeste, who you've seen sing here a couple of times, she's expecting her first child. I think it was on my 50th birthday. She was going to come and tell me. And the night before, she miscarried. And then 13 weeks later, she conceived again. And then 13 weeks after that, miscarried. And I'm just writing these things down, sometimes with tears. And I'm like, Lord, this, I'm not exaggerating. You know, it's a little like Job. At least I'm not covered with boils and you didn't kill all my kids. But I mean, I'm talking, I got 22 pages of this kind of stuff. And the Lord has been using these things in my life to refine my faith, to build my faith, to show me the weakness of my faith, to teach me to lean on Him when I don't feel like He's there. I also think the Lord brought it into my life so that I could relate to a lot of people who maybe have struggled in these things themselves. And who have wondered, Mark, I want to believe, but why is it so hard? It's hard because we're human beings. It's hard because at the end of the day, of every day, we are simply finite, broken, frail human beings. And there's a great adversary who wants to put a division between us and the one who we sang about tonight, who loves us more than anyone in all the universe. He loves you. But the devil wants to destroy our lives with God. The devil wants to destroy our lives. Our own mind does not want to grasp the things of God. Our emotions and our feelings want to argue against the things of God. And then when you add into that the circumstantial evidence, it becomes difficult for us to believe. So next week, we're going to talk about how do we overcome then our mind and our reason. How do we overcome our feelings and emotions? And how, in light of circumstances that don't change, how do I hold on and develop my faith into something that's vibrant and meaningful and powerful? So I'd like to invite you back next week. And by the way, let me just close by saying there are some good things that are happening. The other day, my daughter walked with a cane. That's the first time in a long, long time that she's not walked with a walker. So there, and her skin has gotten significantly better. I'll tell you some more of those stories as we go on. And I'm very, very grateful for your prayers. I want you to know that. And I want you to know, I know God answers prayer. He's answered thousands of my prayers. But as I've gone through this trial, I've tended to get fixated, obsessively so at times, on what He hasn't done, instead of focusing on the big picture of all that He has done, and continue as I must and as I'm going to trust Him for the things that have not yet occurred that my heart longs for. And I know that you have things in your heart that you long for. And we're in this journey together, walking this road of faith. Father, we just thank You tonight that You're real, that You're alive, that You care about every single person in this room. There are many, many stories, Lord, represented in this auditorium tonight. There are people here tonight that are going through very difficult circumstances. Maybe they're without a job. Maybe they just lost a loved one. Maybe they're dealing with a health issue or a relationship issue. Or they have their own faith conundrums that are vexing them and perplexing them and disturbing their peace and their soul. I just ask you, Father, that you would sustain them as you have me, even in the midst of my great sorrow and my great struggle. Lord, you have sustained me. You have listened to me. What a beautiful thing that we have the ear of God and the heart of God listening, attentive to our prayers, even though at times we feel like you're not listening at all. Father, I ask you tonight that you'd be near each person here this evening, touch their life, bring them back safely next week. In Jesus' name, amen.